Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
At Founders Brewing Company, we set out to create a beer that lets you embrace the unconventional. Mortal Bloom is a radiantly beautiful, hazy IPA that will wrap your taste buds with intense citrus and tropical notes of pineapple and mango. Coming in at 6.2% ABV with big aromatics and no bitterness, it's the perfect beer, if we do say so ourselves. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find Mortal Bloom Hazy IPA.
Hello.
Bonjour.
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of The Juice. I'm your host, Solomon Giorgio, comedian, writer, and Demi Moore stand-in on the hit movie St. Elmo's Fire. Today, I'm so excited to welcome a comedian, writer, and all-around wonderful guy to the show. He's currently the co-head writer for The Late Late Show with James Corden, and you can hear him weekly on his Fantasy Draft Pop Culture podcast, All Fantasy Everything. Join me in giving a big, juicy welcome to Ian Carmel.
Hello, Solomon.
Always good to see you.
Always good to see you. Every time I see you, it feels like no time has passed. And then I think back on it, it's always been like 6 months. It's always way too long.
It's been way too long. And we've known each other for way too long.
I've known a Solomon Giorgio that was wearing cargo shorts.
And it was one pair of cargo shorts you've only ever seen me in wear one time.
I was also in cargo shorts at the time. I still wear cargo shorts, but there was a time when we were brothers in cargo shorts, brothers in storage.
It was a short lapse in judgment for me. It is a lifestyle choice for Ian Carmel. So this show is all about gossip, and I feel like we've done it many times because, like, you grew up in Beaverton, right?
Beaverton, Oregon. Yeah,
the world should know. Like, Beaverton is Portland adjacent, but it's not exactly Portland.
Yeah. Portland is Beaverton adjacent, I would say. I consider Portland a suburb of Beaverton. I know. Beaverton is like 9 miles west geographically and 1,000 miles east philosophically. I feel like I went to high school in a place that was like Midwestern. Yeah. Like, there were a lot of people who were like Southern Midwestern almost. There were like people who drove trucks and had talked with like affected country accents. And next to like huge swaths of Mormons who were very nice people. Yeah. They were very nice to me. It was like even whiter than Portland.
The impossible task.
Which was an impossible task in the ways that it wasn't like white. There was like a pretty big Korean population. Mm-hmm. There was like a big, pretty big Mexican population, but it was still so overwhelmingly white. Like, it felt like going to high school in a high school movie. It like very much did. It was so suburban. Like, I would walk to Target. I would walk to Barnes & Noble. It was just prototypical suburban.
Look, as somebody who grew up in Lake Forest Park, Washington, I understand.
Yes.
Exactly what you're describing.
It had nothing to do with like the weird, cool stuff that was happening in Portland whatsoever at all. It was like growing up in a Best Buy. It was that's like completely what it felt like. But in that way, it was also very fun, and it mm-hmm. also lent itself to like having to keep yourself entertained and busy, which was, you know, I think was fun for me.
Yeah, how did you go about doing that as a
in grade school? It, you know, it was like a lot of rollerblading around and like and stealing fountain sodas from like a McDonald's. And then like in high school, it turned into like, you know, I was technically a jock because I was on the football team, because I'm like...
Technically a jock? That is a jock. You don't have to...
Okay, I was a jock. I was a jock, but like all my friends were like not nerdy really, because none of us were like that smart, but we were just kind of like playing video games and like skateboarding and...
So you were a very popular jock is what you're trying to say.
I was a pretty popular jock.
You're defining everything a jock is to anyone who wasn't a jock.
Like, we didn't try hard at school and we drank a lot and...
And all these things I liked were very popular.
And I drove a Ford F-150 and listened to like a lot of Sum 41. Like, yeah. I wasn't a jock. No. But like the weird thing about like I was on the football team and really loved it, and you know, now that I look back, I definitely did like a lot of very jockey things. Like once high school started, like we definitely like stole. We would go on beer runs where we would like run into grocery stores because we knew that the security guards and the clerks couldn't touch you; they could only yell at you.
Yeah.
So we would load up shopping carts with like bricks of beer. You know, like 24 packs. Of like whatever beer we could get our hands on. Limes were always in there for some reason.
Yeah.
Beef jerky, because that was expensive and like a hot commodity. And then we would just run out of the store, throw it in the back of like somebody's mom's Subaru Outback, and then like go to these house parties that were happening every single weekend.
Yeah, it's about right.
Yeah.
And if there wasn't a house party, there's you can get fucked up in the middle of the woods because that's the Pacific Northwest.
Exactly. The woods. It was God's living room. And we would go there. And God's parents were never home.
Oh, never, ever. The fire, the amount of almost wood fires that probably were created by me and my group of friends. But we would do gas runs instead of beer runs. Where we would, because it was back when you could still, this is Washington, so we didn't have to pump our own gas. But at one point in time, you could pay after you pump.
Right. I remember those days.
And me and my friend Craig would fill up the tank and he would drive. And one time, the owner of the gas station hopped in his van and started chasing us through the suburbs of Seattle.
Nearly,
like, we're going 60 miles an hour in this nice little suburb. We almost killed this poor road worker cut a corner. Because this guy was like, he was following us every which way.
What time of day was it?
Middle of the day.
Middle of the day. Oh, my God.
That was the only
God.
Time we almost got caught. But that was the last time. I was like, we're not stealing gas again. It's only 89 cents a gallon.
The state, right? It was so cheap back then. The stakes were too high.
It's too high.
As you know, in Oregon, you couldn't do that because they pump your gas for you, and you have no option of pumping your own gas still.
I know. I was thrown off the first time that happened to me. I was like, "What are you doing?" And just had, like the service of a white person pumping my gas, I didn't know it was an option to me. And
and again, because it's Oregon, it's going to be a white person.
Yeah, and it's look honestly, if you're gonna pump my gas and I can't tip you.
I think I'm unique amongst comedians who, because I loved high school, I sincerely enjoyed it. We cut class all the time and would go to like a sushi buffet in Portland. We did beer runs at night. It was really fun.
Like, well, so like how many friends would you say you had? The same rotation of friends? Or
I had like a core group of friends who was probably like five or six deep. Those were like my good friends, and none of those people were like on the football. Maybe one of them. One or two of them were on the football team.
All of them, it was a whole football
team. They were all on the football team. It was the quarterback and one of the coaches. No. Like my core group of friends were dudes I went to like middle school with. These guys, Graham and Dan, and like they weren't like on the football team. And then I had like football friends too. But then they all like sort of like, I was like friends with everybody. Like that kind of person where I was just like friendly with every kind of group of people.
Oh, in that case, that means you're the person that had all the dirt.
I guess so. Except I didn't really. I like was racking my brain to try to come up with like what kind of gossip I remember. And I do remember some of it, but most of the gossip I have was like, oh, these people are having sex now. Or although there was one where this other group of like dudes who were on the football team, they were kind of jockey dudes who weren't good at sports. So then they stopped playing, but were still carried themselves in that way.
Yeah.
So much dirt, like in the suburbs, and this is probably true everywhere too, but it was like when people's parents got divorced and then like one of their, like the parent who didn't have full custody, like a lot of stuff would happen at that other parent's house kind of thing. Like, so it would be like, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so were over at Nick's dad's on the, you know, on the weekend.
Yes.
And I remember the big gossip was like six, like they watched Cinemax and all jacked off together. Like that was a huge thing of gossip where I was like, oh my God. Cause listen, all of us are jacking off. All of us are jacking off to Cinemax, but like six dudes in a room together.
Like it surprised me how rarely a gay person's ever involved in those stories.
I have kept track of a few of them. And none of them are at least out. None of them are living their lives as a gay person.
There's something, I think there's a curiosity in straight men at one point in their time, for a lot of them, where they're like, let's jerk off in front of my friends.
Yeah, should we all just jack off together?
I never considered it once. I was like, I can't bring that to the table. That's
right.
It lets people know that I'm gay. I am.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I just never, like, it just didn't, there was nothing about it that appealed to me.
It's not fun. It's.
I didn't want to see them jacking off. I didn't think I would be at my best if I was doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how the panopticon experience of being observed while I'm jacking off would change it.
I feel especially with like I feel like it, for me it'd be competitive at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I'm gonna have to finish first now.
right. Do you want to finish, or are you the guy who finishes last? And is that
that's
like kind
just
of a
the
thing?
Weird one? Everybody's just staring at you, and you
yeah,
just,
everybody else is done, and you're like, nope, we're not done
yet. I watched the scene till the end.
Yeah, you're getting into second act structure in a softcore porn. You know what
I
mean?
I want to know what's going on in the story.
Oh my god. He's got a new lead in the case. Who's this lady? Yeah.
Are they going to sell the hotel? I need to know.
But it was all like, it was all that, it was that kind of gossip. Like, and then there was like very dark, very, very dark stuff where they were like, you heard about people in the neighborhoods with, there were like murders and stuff like that.
Damn.
Yeah. Like suburban, like there was like some, it was either a Nike or an Intel executive, but I think it was Nike who like killed his whole family.
Holy shit.
It was in that Spyglass neighborhood. And then you would like, there was one person who thought they knew which house it was and you would go drive by it. And then you'd keep driving, you know, like every now and then you'd take another group of friends and you're like drive by it. And then you'd like drive by it again. And there'd just be somebody mowing the lawn. And you're like, oh, well, that's probably not that house.
That's probably not the murder house. There's somebody mowing the lawn in the murder house again.
Yeah.
Oh, that is. Yeah. I feel like I'm trying to remember the shit we did like that. Cause we hitchhiked. That was fucking weird. I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
We were so almost murdered many a time for hitchhiking.
Cause like, I feel like our parents told us where it was like, oh, you kids are so sheltered. Like, you know what I mean? Even in the '90s and stuff like that compared to how they were. But I look back and I'm like, we were doing wild shit. Like, and now it seems like the kids today are like maybe even more sheltered, but maybe they're not based on Euphoria. But like, I don't know. If every generation thinks the next generation is sheltered, what were people four generations doing? Yeah. Just like robbing saloons and like
just
getting into street
fights?
Stabbing
each other in the knife, getting in duels. Yeah. Like there's just like, I feel like, I think it was always like this. We just like to make it seem like the next generation is like, you don't know what's going on. You've never seen the real deal. I'm like, look, what did I do? Smoke weed in the woods? What am I? I haven't done anything that grand. Like,
right, exactly.
I just managed to survive certain situations which I put myself into.
Right. Yeah. We had a fight club.
What?
I remember that. That was a thing.
You're not supposed to tell me about Fight Club. That's the fucking word.
I think the statute of limitations on Fight Club has run out. I mean, we saw Fight Club, obviously. And because we were outside of Portland, Red Fight Club. Shout out to Chuck Palahniuk.
Honestly, you should have taken credit for it. That's what you should have said. It's like, we were the Fight Club.
We were the Fight Club. He stole the idea from. And one of us jacked off in a pool on one of the pool jets. And he took that short story from us, too. But, you know, you're like that age and you're full of testosterone. Mm-hmm. And we were so full of angst and everything, too. And again, this wasn't the football team. This was like the other group of friends.
Yeah.
Where we just like picked out people who were kind of in our weight class and went to a park and just fought each other.
Barefisted.
It was like it was crazy. There was like a lot, like, I think there was a no face rule.
Okay.
And sometimes like I would fight two people. And I remember one time at a party, because I was so much like, I'm still 6'3". Yeah. I've lost a bunch of weight, but then I was like 6'3". Probably 350 pounds and like very strong because I was like used to lifting weights and everything. I fought a guy with a baseball bat once because I was like, I really wanted to fight somebody and like no one would because I was so much bigger than everyone. And I felt this weird, like that sense of exclusion that applied to every aspect of my life because of my weight, you know, from dating to roller coasters, stuff I couldn't do. And I was like, but I'm going to fight. Yes. If everybody's fighting, I'm going to fight. You can have a baseball bat. And the other guy was up for it. So he like swung a baseball bat at me, but he didn't believe in it. And so I caught it. And then I put him in a headlock and we both fell over. And I ended up breaking my nose on the back of his head anyway, because I like hit it on the back of his head. And then we were both crying and like apologizing to each other. It was so stupid. We had no idea what to do with all this like testosterone and all these hormones and everything. And like, you know, that all that aggravation came from like a sense of being afraid and not knowing to do what to do with ourselves.
Yeah.
At parties, we would have boxing matches in like the living room.
Yeah.
It felt pretty brutal, like some of the time.
I did it. I've been in that testosterone situation where we boxed. A kid named Micah. I'll never forget him. He was always the aggressor of us all. Like, you remember that game, Doorknobs?
Yes.
Where I think it's if you fart and if you don't touch a doorknob, everyone gets to punch you.
Gets to like, just like, Yeah.
And we also, oh God, we had a game called Nuts. And
what was Nuts?
It's you just say nuts and you throw something at somebody's nuts.
Oh yeah, I like that. Yeah. That'd still be fun to this day.
That game ended when a Game Boy Advance was chucked at my testicles. And I was like, you know what?
Every generation of young men and I'm sure some young women are especially susceptible to that kind of idiocy at that age. Every generation. But we happen to be the generation who was that age when Jackass.
Yeah. We commodified.
We commodified it, and then we had a resource. There was this group of kids called the Mesh Hat Clan at our school.
What?
Who were like a, fancied themselves like a Jackass, like a local branch of the Jackass guys. So they did all the like weird shopping cart stuff and like crashed golf carts, knocked people's mailboxes off with like baseball bats and like did all this like anarchic shit.
Yeah.
And then there was another group called FSU, which stood for Fuck Shit Up, who were like a few years younger than us. They just broke windows.
That's it?
Their whole thing was they were just like suburban kids who just broke car and house windows.
You know what? They have a plan. That's all. I respect that.
They did. There was just this like insane sense of like suburban anarchy happening all around us. And they decided to form like a weird little suburb gang.
I think I realized those are my friends were the anarchists. Like one time, like my friend had a super soaker, Craig, again, same guy. he would just soak people in their car if their window was open. And he did it to Ford F-150 and we were another car chase.
Yeah. I was a Ford F-150 guy, but only like that was my first car.
Yeah.
But I wasn't your typical Ford F-150 guy. Like I wouldn't chase anybody. But that's like a chase people car.
You should have chased some people. It's also a good donuts car. I've been in donuts in a Ford F-150.
Oh, I've done donuts in a Ford F-150.
Look, if you haven't done donuts out there, it is the greatest thing you can do in ice and almost kill yourself.
Yeah, it's a great time. It's a great time. There are much less fun ways to almost kill yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think the last time I did donuts, we got in trouble because it was right in front of the cop station.
And they wanted to do
and
it
And they're
there
just looking
instead.
Over at us, like just like the cops just stepping out and being like, what are you doing?
Just like, come on.
It's an empty parking lot.
I am remembering one more piece of suburban gossip. Once that we were like engaged in. This was a mix of gossip and anarchy. I was in a car with three of my friends. So there were four of us. And I was in the front passenger seat. And we had all gone to 7-Eleven and we're drinking Slurpees. And a Jeep pulled up next to us with some dude. And the girl who was in the passenger seat of the Jeep hadn't dated one of our friends who was in the car, but then broke up with him in an especially brutal way. And they pulled up next to us. And like my friend was like, oh man, fuck them. And I was like, I got it. And I took one last slip of my Slurpee and skyhooked it from we were to the right of the Jeep, from the passenger side of our car, skyhooked it through the air, and it like exploded inside their Jeep.
Yes.
Like they kept going and we pulled off this exit and like hid in this movie theater parking lot. While we were there, we were like, okay, let's just go fucking see a movie. And it was like this huge set, like we just went in there and like I hailed like a champion. Now I look back and it was very unhealthy
behavior.
But at the time, yeah.
Like, would you guys watch that afterwards? Like Under the Tuscan Sun or?
It was Under the Tuscan Sun. Yeah, absolutely. It was that first Bjork movie. It was Dancer in the Dark.
Oh, Dancer in the Dark. Yeah. That's a nice art house piece.
We were just so emotional.
I feel like the time you can make like rash decisions without like nine voices in your head telling you to stop doing it.
Yeah.
It's called a conscience. I forgot.
A conscience. Yeah. And a sense of responsibility and like roadside awareness and safety.
Fuck that. I didn't have bills to pay. I can do shit like that.
We had a burgeoning sense of freedom and endless concrete on which to explore it.
I can steal cigarettes. I can steal gas. I can get drunk in the woods.
All that stuff. Now that I think about it, I may have been the subject of other people's gossip more than I was aware.
What do you ever remember hearing rumors about yourself? Is that?
Not really, no.
See,
no,
that means everybody likes you, Ian. And I think that's the case with you. I think that's always been, that's why I don't like you, is how much other people like you.
It's good. I mean, I appreciate you filling that role for me.
It's absolutely not true. I like you too much, and you know that. It's unfortunate that I am also one of the victims of your likability, and no matter how hard I try.
Well, I adore you. I adore you as well. And you're that same way. I don't know anyone who has a crossword to say about you, which for someone as gorgeous as you are, it should be impossible.
I don't allow them to talk. You think I don't take care of my enemies? You think I'm out here leaving loose ends? Not on my watch.
Just a series of bells that go off depending on which quadrant of LA someone's dragging your name through the mud in.
No hater unturned. Oh god, yeah, that's just it's just me showing up their house in NDA.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's time to read some of the juicy submissions we get from our listeners. It is mailbag time.
Here we go.
Growing up, my dad heard that the priest from our church bought a really expensive boat. Apparently, my dad called the rectory, asked to speak to the priest, and then asked the priest when he could take out the boat that he had helped pay for.
Oh!
That's my favorite kind of dad.
I love that. Yeah.
That is a hero dad. That is, I love any story where a parent confronts a form of authority in any shape or form.
I do too. That's a Sue Carmel move. That's something my mother would do.
You know what? We can share a story each because I have one about my mom as well.
So in middle school, again, I was a chubby little kid and I was late for the bus that was leaving school once and I had to run to catch it. And I ran and then the bus driver stopped. I ran to catch it. I got on and the bus driver got on the loudspeaker. He was this old dude and was like, "That's the first time he's run in years."
Ooh.
The bus driver roasted me.
Good burn.
Good fucking burn. Like my feelings were hurt, but I was also like, oh, that is funny. That is good. But I told my mom about it when I got home. My mother, who is currently engaged in combat with Jake's restaurant in Portland. I don't even really remember why, because I think like one of our dishes came out cold, you know, and she's been in like a 6-month skirmish with him trying to get the entire thing paid for. She went on the warpath with the school district and got this like bus driver fired, got like, and because it took too long, got like the people above the bus driver, like didn't get them fired, but like got them in trouble and all this stuff too. And got like a formal apology, like from the school district, when I was a kid, we would be at any store, but like Nordstrom's or something like that, where somebody would give her a little bit of guff and like her face would change and like the chemistry in the room would change. Like if they were like wind chimes, they would start like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like tinkling. It was crazy. And like me and my little sister would just like walk away and try to hide in like a clothing rack because she was about to like. Hurricane Sue was about to start blowing. And she's like the sweetest, most supportive person.
I know that. That's why.
In the world. You've met her. Like,
that's why you get that kind of vengeance. You have to be a terrible person to get such a sweet person against you.
Yeah.
My mom, however, it's actually harder to get her to be on our side. So when it does happen, and it's always very sweet. I remember my brother, he got in trouble from stealing. Like, he stole something from the book fair and he got in trouble through like the standard route. Of the school.
Right.
But then one of the other teachers, not even his own teacher, but his own teacher and another teacher decided that wasn't a harsh enough punishment. So like they tried to do like a scared him straight thing after class where they brought in the DARE officer and just pretty much are just like, I walk by and I'm like, that's not what I wanted. I did like literally a police officer scaring the shit out of my brother with two of the teachers standing idle by.
Right. It's overkill, like by far overkill. Yeah.
So my mom's in the car and I'm like, mom, they're telling the police officer to yell at the army. The way my mother starts charging down this hallway and you tell one of the other teachers like keeping watch. She books it when she sees my mother. She knows she's not being a part. Like she just went off on both this police officer and this teacher for so long. And it was truly,
that's beautiful.
It was the most perfect thing to watch because he was a DARE officer. It's like, you're going to arrest his mother for yelling at you for not for doing something you didn't have to be doing.
You should have, for stealing a book, by the way. Like it's you know what I mean. It's not securities fraud. It's stealing a book.
Yeah. Look, more scary stories. If you couldn't afford it and you wanted it, take it.
Yeah, that mama bear thing is so real. It's amazing when you see it in action. It's so good.
I've had it mostly turned against me, but when I see it reflected on other people, it was always a blessing.
My mother could use guilt against me like a trained samurai would use a sword. It was she'd just like completely take me apart. So like she would show up at my door crying sometimes, after we'd had a little fight. Yeah. Like, and that, like, and then whatever, even if I thought I was right, immediately I was like, oh my God, I made my mom cry. No. And then I was like, it was over.
This is the voice message I get if I don't answer after the first call. Solomon, I know I'm alive right now, but but one day I might die. So if you call me, I like that. I'm like, shit. All right. Fuck.
God. You know, like the best chefs reduce a recipe down to like just the most simple ingredients. Yes. Like just the most, there's like three things on a plate and it's still the most effective it could ever be.
I'm already calling halfway through with that every time. Yeah. Like there's no way I can listen to the rest of the guilt trip. Because it's effective.
I know I'm alive right now. Hold on. I got to go. I got to go. I gotta, whatever you're in the middle
of. You know what? I know. I got cheese. Guys, it's not worth it for me.
This preacher's spending the church's money on stuff, though. That's like, I mean, this is even like a low grade example of it. That's like,
that's
huge everywhere.
I think that's a big thing everywhere. But also at the same time, it's not that big of a surprise. People wasting money. You have to be like, hey.
Yeah.
But get on that boat. I'm going on that boat.
They should absolutely go on the fucking boat. Hey, yeah. Well, have you been to the Vatican? It's not like it's a new thing, the church taking money and taking. You
know, that's why I'm going to the Vatican, and I'm making them go on. I'm going to get on their boat.
Let me in.
I'm walking in.
Put me on the gondola in the big room full of coins that I can, like, Scrooge McDuck my way through.
Okay, so there's one more piece here that's also.
Okay, perfect.
All right. My mom still hates my next door neighbor. We bought my childhood home because our dog pooped in her lawn one time and she threw the poop back into our driveway. She also hates the other neighbor on the other side because she's afraid of dogs. This is great gossip, but you're just calling out your mother. And
yeah, you're going to get a phone call from her that starts with, I know I'm alive right now.
Yes. Like, what I'm trying to, like, my mom still hates my next door neighbor because our dog pooped in her lawn one time and she threw the poop back onto our driveway.
I'm kind of with the neighbor.
The neighbor is 100% right.
The poop
in this situation.
Yeah, that's your poop. They're just returning your poop.
the rule here is poop back.
Yeah.
To where it came from. I think your mother needs to reconcile a lot of issues.
I think there's a lot going. Yeah.
She's got to pick up her poop first of all.
Counting your blessings that neighbor didn't come over and just shit in your yard. That could have been the escalation.
That's actually the step I would have taken.
Yeah. Right. Oh, if we're just shitting in each other's yards. Oh, that's great.
In that case, it's dog shit, human shit. Seems lateral move to me.
You have to keep good relations with your neighbors.
And I'm regular now, so I know exactly when I can go
out exactly.
There.
All right. It's 9:30. I'll be right over. Let me finish my coffee and I'm going to shit in your yard.
But end of the day,
yeah,
you got to tell your mom to pick up her shit.
These seem like remediable situations. But that's the thing with, like, if a bone doesn't heal right away, you know what I mean? Like, maybe the original beef is dog-based, but has then turned into, like, a decade of slights that it's now would take so long to untangle these cords that maybe your mom should move.
Get another place.
Yeah.
Dog-free. She should be the only dog in the neighborhood.
That's right. Yeah.
I can't still tell who has a dog in the situation.
No.
Who has the dog?
Or no dogs, or somebody should have a dog. Also, how long do dogs live? Shouldn't this problem, like, solve itself eventually? Yeah. Not to be morbid, but, like, at some point.
This dog's not going to be alive forever.
At that point, let's call it, like, ashes to ashes, dog shit to dog shit. The problem solved itself.
Yeah, but also, this is a good gossip. And I like a good neighborhood issue. Like, those are always the fun thing. Like, people being mad at each other for no good reason.
Are you on the, like, Nextdoor app at all? Have you done any of that
stuff?
I feel
like,
I have not either.
I feel like some of them can get a little, like, there's a black person in the neighborhood. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I don't
wanna. Right, yeah. They got out of a Lexus and then they walked to a door and then they seemed to have a key to the door and they went inside and I don't know what happened in this neighborhood.
Yeah. Lots of things have changed. Property value has gone down. I'm like, oh. And as the black person in the neighborhood, I'm like, oh, that's me.
Right, yeah.
That's the mailbag. Thanks for sending in your mail. I love it. If you want to hear your story on the show, please visit teamcoco.com/heyjuice. And after a short break, we'll be back with the juice line. Don't go anywhere.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to The Juice. I'm here with a very funny, very talented, very beautiful Ian Carmel. All right, Ian, now's the time in our show when we go to the phone. It is The Juice Line. And I'm hearing from our board operator that today's caller is Diana.
Please hold. Thank you.
Hi, Diana.
Hi.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Okay, so when I was working at an ad agency in New York City, the agency hired this web developer who I'll call Jack. Jack identified as male. He presented as male and he went by he, him pronouns, which this is important information. Like, he didn't show any signs of being in some sort of like gender identity exploration or anything like that. He was just this quiet, introverted, like 30 something, somewhat serious, very passive aggressive man.
Wow. A description of a serial killer so far as
well. Yeah. So this man, he was a man.
Yes.
But he always used the women's bathroom. Mm-hmm. He used the women's bathroom his first day, and then he used it his second day, and he just kept on using it. So after a few days of this, my coworker politely pointed out to him that he had been using the women's bathroom and the men's room is like actually the other door. And Jack looks at her and he's like, I know. And then he just kept on using the women's room after that. And not only that, he would lock us out of the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
So these weren't single occupancy bathrooms?
Right. Yeah, it was like, oh, it had multiple toilets, multiple stalls. It was for multiple people.
It doesn't matter what bathroom he's using at that point anymore. He's blocking a bathroom out
from
everybody.
Yeah,
he's making life hard for the women.
Yes.
On top of that, we noticed he also had a midday routine. So every day at noon, he would go into the women's bathroom, lock the door as usual, and then he would stay in there for 30 minutes doing who knows what.
I can take a few wild guesses. Really, it's narrowed down to three options.
Well, as you'll soon find out, he was definitely pooping.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
That was the one I was thinking of for sure.
That was going to be my second guess.
The number two guess. So after a few weeks of this behavior, the bosses finally took Jack aside to talk to him. They told him that he should use the men's bathroom and that he couldn't lock the door to the whole bathroom while he was in there. And his response to that, first of all, he did not stop using the women's bathroom. He just kept on using the women's bathroom. And on top of that, now every day after this noontime 30-minute lock myself in the bathroom, in the women's bathroom, we started noticing something new. We started noticing poop left in the toilets.
No.
He was taking shits in the women's bathroom and leaving them there.
Ugh. Why? Why though? Revenge through shit is really...
This has become a form of warfare at this point.
It was really passive aggressive.
Yeah.
It's aggressive because you can tell who it belongs to.
Yeah, it's just straight up aggressive. And like, we even gave him this benefit of the doubt. Like the first day it was like, maybe this is unintentional because, you know, the plumbing or something, or you might forget. Like, I always am scared I'll forget. But
right.
The next day it happened again. And we're like, okay, it just kept going on for a week and another week. And like, we just had no more benefit of the doubt left after that.
Oh, you're not flushing the toilet was where you stopped.
The amount of benefit of the doubt that you gave him in the first place like qualifies all of you for sainthood. This is amazing.
The half hour lockout is where
that's insane.
The end of my rope.
This is biological warfare and violates the Geneva Convention as far as I'm concerned, leaving shit in the toilet like that. That is disgusting. I wonder if it was like some sort of men's rights activist Reddit thread
that was the case where he was like, you know what? They're just letting men dress up as girls use a bathroom. And I'm like, is that what you're trying to prove here?
It felt like that.
Because that's not okay. Like anyone who would have been considerate and was like, I identify as something else would have had a conversation with the other women and be like, I know I appear this way, but I'd rather use the women's bathroom.
Yeah.
And I won't lock the bathroom door behind me.
Wherever you fall on the spectrum of gender, like shitting in the toilet and leaving it, that's a violation no matter
what. Violation of all rights. It's a human rights catastrophe. And
most offices have like some pretty good plumbing that's going to be able to handle that. That's like an industrial plumbing situation. So if you do that, that's a point you're making.
How long did he work there with the revenge shits?
Only that lasted about like 2 weeks.
2 weeks? 2 weeks of revenge dumps?
God.
Yeah. And then they did actually, they were able to fire him after that.
Yeah.
At least in a men's bathroom, you can go pee in the stand-up thing. Or I forget what it's called. Like, at least then, like, if you have to pee.
It's called an urinal.
Urinal. Yeah. How did I forget what urinals are called? I'm having a very specific stroke. but at a women's bathroom, it's just toilets.
It's all toilets, yeah.
That's right.
So you have no choice but to deal with it.
Yeah, like, you have a stall in a separate space. Like, you could have just been in the stall, did your business, and go about your day. But it's the need to be alone in a women's bathroom and not allow any other women in those fucking space get in. That's just...
It was so creepy.
I would piss on his chair while he was in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I'm just a hateful person, though.
You know you have a half hour to get whatever sort of pranks off you want to get off at that point.
Yeah, you might as well. There will be shit in every drawer by the time I'm done. Pass me the Henderson file, Jack. You found some brown fudge in the middle of that, buddy?
Did he have to? So, and you would like have to interact with this person too. So it would be like, after he'd get out of your bathroom for half an hour, you'd have to then be like, all right, now we have to collaborate on this project or whatever.
I mean, my coworker did.
Yeah.
Luckily, I was like an assistant. So.
Oh, good.
But yes, he did have women on his team.
You're a saint for enduring what you did. No one should ever experience that kind of hateful revenge shit in their lives, and may you live a long, blessed life where you never have to interact with anybody else's poop from here on out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diana, for telling us your story.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
And if you're out there, stop revenge pooping. Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not nice to anyone.
I'll say this, Jack, more like jerk. All right? That's the kind of wrath he just called him.
That was juicy gossip.
That was juicy gossip.
That was a juicy shit that he probably took too. Half an hour. Half an hour. Just dead legging himself every single day.
Yeah. You can't be on a toilet for half an hour.
No. You're not feeling your feet at that point.
No, 15 minutes of shitting, 15 minutes of waiting to get his feelings back in his legs. Or maybe there were just some particularly invigorating articles on like the Daily Caller or the National Review or whatever that he was reading that day.
Just whatever Reddit thread that he needs to add into. Well, thank you so much, Ian, for being here. It's always wonderful to see you.
Oh, it was my pleasure. This was so fun. It was so good to see you.
Let's hang out soon.
I'll meet you outside the bathroom.
All right, I'll be right outside.
All right.
That was my dear friend, Ian Carmel. Be sure to check out his weekly podcast from HeadGum Studios, All Fantasy Everything, wherever you get your shows. Visit iancarmel.com for everything else. As always, if you want to tell your story on The Juice, send them in by visiting teamcoco.com/heyjuice. And if you love the shit talking we do on this podcast, please give us a great rating and review on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars, please. The Juice is produced by Nick Liao, Jen Samples, and Lisa Berm. Executive producers are Jeff Ross, Adam Sachs, and Joanna Solitaroff. Engineering and music by Eduardo Perez. I'm Solomon Giorgio. See you all back here next week as we dish out more of the low-stakes gossip you love to hear on The Juice. And please, have a juicy day.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.